think I got that right. So this is a whole new experience for me. So for Pastor Schlegel and Pastor Micah, they're old veterans at this now. So this is I can now fully appreciate what Pastor said when it's a whole new level of uncomfortableness for you. So probably the only thing I can compare it to was when I've been on a couple mission trips to Africa, and I think both times I was there, I had to speak with a translator. So, you know, doing that, you know, that's a little different. You can't just, you know, fly and just take off and start speaking. You got to make sure you stay with the translator. I will say, though, the second time that I was there, I had a veteran missionary who was a phenomenal translator. No problems and issues whatsoever. So hopefully it'll go the same way with this here tonight. So let's go ahead and take our Bibles here tonight. Let's go ahead and open to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is also a little bit of a new experience for me because I had something happen this morning that I've never had happen before in relation to preaching a message. And if other preachers have had this happen where they're sitting in a service, maybe they're in a Bible conference or something where they're going to be a speaker later on, and the preacher that's speaking ahead of them either speaks on the same topic that they're going to speak on or something very similar. So that kind of happened to me this morning with Pastor's message when he spoke out of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. But what we're going to look at tonight is really going to be really like a part B of that, but it is going to come at it from a different angle. But let's look here at Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we're going to read this whole chapter here. Deuteronomy chapter 8. It says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. In March of 1995, Teresa and I, on our honeymoon, we had the opportunity to visit the Pearl Harbor Memorial on the island of Oahu in Hawaii. So originally when we were going to go on our honeymoon, I had planned we were going to go to the island of Kauai. That was where I planned. You know, they said less tourists, more secluded, more private. I'm like, oh, that's great. That was until I found out that Pearl Harbor is not on Kauai. Pearl Harbor is in Oahu. And I thought to myself, this may be sounding selfish for your honeymoon, but I'm thinking, I cannot go to Hawaii and not go to Pearl Harbor. So I completely changed. I hadn't really laid any plan. I hadn't, you know, made any solid plans yet. But I completely changed the focus of where we were going to go, and decided we're going to go to Oahu because we have to go to Pearl Harbor. So we visited this memorial, as you see here in the picture. We visited this memorial that it implores all who come to it to remember and to not forget those who gave their lives for their country. And hopefully as they come, people will grow and change because of having visited. And again, something very appropriate for Memorial Day. But as we look here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and particularly in verse 2, just like when people go to Pearl Harbor, they're to come and they're to remember and their lives are to grow and change and be different because of it. God said something very specific happened in their lives as a nation. And God said because of that, they should remember. So tonight, the title of the message that we're going to look at tonight, here out of this one verse in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, is the need to remember. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, this opportunity to look here in your word. And Lord, to be challenged, Lord, by what we see in the Old Testament. These who, in the book of Romans, it says that they are to be examples to us. That, Lord, that we should look to them and we see, Lord, how you worked in their lives, your character, your nature, and your ways as you worked with them in the Old Testament. And that, Lord, we as New Testament believers should learn and grow and change as well because of those examples. So I pray that tonight as we look at this one verse in Deuteronomy chapter 8, that, Lord, that we again would see, just as God told Israel, the need to remember, that, Lord, that we would do so as well as we look in light of what is going on all around us, even right now. So, Lord, pray you'd work in our hearts through your word. And so we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, again, here what you find in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, again, this call to remember. And hopefully as we were reading down through the chapter, you saw a couple different times where God said, you need to remember, remember, do not forget, do not forget. But we find here in Deuteronomy chapter 8 this particular reason. Again, Israel had gone into judgment because of their unbelief. And God said, because of that, you need to remember. But tonight, we're going to look at three things about this idea of this need to remember. And again, relate it to, again, what we're experiencing now in this current day. First thing we want to look at in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, is to remember not to forget what God has done. Remember to not forget what God has done. It says in that first part of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. Again, the background to God's instruction on this idea of to remember goes really back to his command when he told Israel, go into the land, conquest it, take it over by my power and by my strength, and conquest the land, take over the land which I have promised to you. But then what we find is, you know, just like the old children's song, you know, there were 12 spies, you know, 10 were bad, 2 were good. And it said that as they went, there were the 10 spies that said, we can't do it. We can't do it. They're too big. They're too strong. We're not going to be able to do it. And yet, 2 faithful spies, Caleb and Joshua, said, we can. We can do this with God's help. But then as because of that, God said, because of your unbelief, because of your willingness not to trust me and not go in and obey and do as I asked, he goes, I'm going to send you into exile for 40 years in the wilderness. And really, the key word that we find in this first part of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, is this word remember. This word remember, which at its root means to mark. To mark. Maybe like if you have a book and you highlight it, you're marking something, or you make a note. It's, you know, if you look at a book that I have read to, you know, with any degree of seriousness, you'll find in books that I have read, you know, highlights and notes and markings. And there's times I've shown, in years past, I've shown Teresa a book of mine, and it looks like a coloring book. And it's like, oh, it's just too much color, you know. Okay? But the idea is God said, I want you to mark this. Remember this. Remember these 40 years. Because now, you find in Deuteronomy chapter 8, they're on the backside of this. They're on the backside of this. They're getting ready now to go in. And God says, all right, we've come this way before. Now we're going to do this again. So now they're on the backside of that 40 years. And God says, I want you to remember what we've already gone through. So this was a significant, this 40 years in the wilderness, it was a significant, history-changing, memorable moment that God said it was important for Israel to mark and to remember because of the intended impact for growth and change. God said, I didn't just throw you out there just to make you suffer. There was a reason, there was a purpose why I did that. And we'll get to that here in just a little while. Now, what we find is that this whole idea of remembering and to not forget, it can be found in other places in Scripture. All throughout the Old Testament, in different places, Israel was reminded to not forget God, not forget what He did for them, and to obey as they lived on. In the New Testament, believers are also encouraged to remember what God has done and the need for faithfulness in our own lives. Again, this further helps us to understand this idea of remembering, both the importance of remembering both to God and to us as His children. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, it says this. It says, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." God says to remember. Then if you look as well at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12 says this. Again to the nation of Israel, "Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth." Now, for the New Testament believer, we find that we're called to remember often in a very particular way. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, this is something that we often do in our own observance here of the Lord's table. It says there in verse 22, in chapter 22, verse 19, it says, "Jesus, He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is My body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Every time we come and we have the Lord's table, again, is remembrance of what Christ has done for us in paying for the penalty of all our sins on the cross. And again, that what He did can wash away all of our sin. And so whenever we come, we're doing, again, that whole idea of remembering. And not just remembering just for the sake to remember, but that our lives would change and grow and be different because of it. Now, in addition, because we are prone to forget, in the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus gives us a promise. He says, "I'm going to send you somebody who is going to help you remember all that I've taught you." So if you look in John chapter 14, verse 26, Christ says to His disciples, and He says to us, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So again, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, this idea of remembering, and God giving us things to help us remember who He is, what He has done, how that should make our lives grow and change and be more Christ-like. Now, what we find, and as we looked at the beginning, you know, men often build monuments, memorials, things to, or they preserve things to help us remember things by. I myself am a Bulls fan. I'm a currently suffering Bulls fan. Okay, if you follow that basketball, all right. But several years ago, when the Bulls were still kind of at their height of popularity and dominance, I went downtown with a friend, and we went down to the United Center. And if you're familiar with the United Center, on the east side of the United Center, there's a statue there. And it's a statue of who is considered the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan. And I went there, and my friend and I, and we took pictures and things like that. And then we actually, as a side note, I don't really know if we were actually supposed to be in the United Center, but there was a door that was open, so we went in. And we actually went inside the United Center, and there was like a gift shop there called Fandemonium, if I remember right. And all of a sudden, we turn around, and like, they had the championship trophies in a trophy case. I was like, oh, can't believe it. We took pictures with them, and, you know, we didn't get thrown out or anything, so we were okay. But again, someone setting up a memorial, a monument, a statue to remember someone. Several years ago, Teresa and I, when we were living in Greenville, South Carolina, we decided we would take a trip. We didn't have any kids at the time. So we took a trip over to Tuscumbia, Alabama. And we made a trip to the Helen Keller House. If you go to Tuscumbia, Alabama today, you can go to the original Helen Keller House. You can and this was important to Teresa, so it was fun to do. You can actually go, and you can actually go to the very pump where Annie Sullivan pumped that water out, put her hand underneath it, and helped her to learn her first word, water. Okay? So they're preserving that, again, to remember Helen Keller, remember Annie Sullivan. Now, for me, something I would like to do someday is I've told people I would like to take a trip when the kids are moved out and, you know, we can do things like that. I want to take a two-week trip, and I want to take 1 week and drive west and just go and see as much as I can see. And then the idea is, come back the second week and come back a different way. And one of the things that I would like to see is Mount Rushmore. This magnificent monument, you know, to these four presidents, you know, Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, Lincoln. Something that was made, you know, again, to memorialize and remember, again, these great presidents and the things that they did. But God, with the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, He said, I brought something very particular into your lives. And we're now on the backside of that. And as we come out of that, I want you to remember. I want you to remember so that you'll walk with me, so that you'll obey me, so that you'll trust me. And now, as we in what's happening here, can we not say, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, that this whole thing with COVID-19, God has done something. God has done something. He brought the entire world to a screeching halt. He stopped sports. He stopped jobs. He stopped all kinds of things. Just the other day, I was at home, and I remember coming home from work, and my job is one of the essential employers. And as I came home from work, I remember I was tired. I was going to lay down. I was going to take a nap. And before I did, I looked outside the window. And as I looked outside the window, it was a sunny day, and I thought to myself, you know, if things were normal right now, I would probably be at soccer practice right now. But it's not. It had changed. And so as we see God and what He has done, we need to remember that God has special growth and change for us during this particular time. Special growth and change for us during this unique and challenging time, and He doesn't want us to forget that. Now, let's look secondly, if we go back to the book of Deuteronomy, again, chapter 8. Let's look at the second thing. The first thing we looked at, again, is that we need to remember not to forget what God has done. And God is definitely doing something in our lives right now. But then number two, we need to remember that God is in control of what He does. God is in control of what He does. We see here, again, in verse 2 in Deuteronomy chapter 8, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." During this time, Israel, they endured suffering. They endured hardship. They endured, as you look further on in the book of Numbers, they endured dissension, infighting, plague. They went through frustration. They went through discontent, thirst. However, as we look back on these moments through the lens of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, we see that even though Israel was under the hand of God's judgment, God was not out of control. God was totally in control of the situation and working his will for his good and perfect purpose. What you see here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, in the second part of this verse, that the key word that we find here is this idea of led. This idea of led. It says, all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Another way that we can translate this word is just simply to walk. To walk. God brought Israel along and walked them along directly in the path and directly in the way that he wanted them to go. And in this particular instance, it was in that way of judgment. It was in that way of chastisement that he said later on in Deuteronomy chapter 8. But he said, I had a good and perfect purpose as to why I did that. He was not out of control in what he did. He controlled and utilized those moments in a very specific time frame. If we look, 40 years for a good and perfect purpose. Now what we find also is that God shows his sovereign and perfect control over his creation and the events of time and human history. He shows it all throughout his word. He shows it here in Deuteronomy chapter 8 with Israel going into the wilderness. If you go over, look at the book of Mark. Look at the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And let's look at verses 35 through 39. We see this in the New Testament. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 39. It says, and the same day, when the evening was come, Jesus saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? I went a verse farther. But as you look at that passage, I remember hearing this in a sermon or a lesson years ago, or read it somewhere. Christ knew exactly what was going to happen. He didn't send them out onto the sea not knowing, when they got on the sea, again, it says he was asleep, but Christ didn't wake up surprised being like, oh my word, there's a storm going on. He knew exactly what they were going to get into. And he sent them out there, he sent them out onto the sea intentionally, purposefully, deliberately, because there was something that he wanted to teach them. God was not out of control in that situation. He had a purpose and a plan and something that he wanted to instruct his disciples with. Now, if you look as well, go over to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. What you find in this verse in the book of Luke, this is a key transition point in the book of Luke. Up to this point, Christ was going about his earthly ministry, doing miracles and teaching and presenting himself as the Messiah and as the Savior of the world to man. But as you get to the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 51, there's a clear transition, a clear shift in his ministry and what he does. He says here, it says in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So up until this point, again, it was about the miracles and his teaching. But at this point, a page turned, and he said, now is the time. And Jesus did that. He knew what was going to happen. God knew, God the Father knew what was going to happen to God the Son. And it was deliberate, intentional, purposeful in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we see in all these instances, with Israel in the Old Testament, with the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, with Christ and his ministry, knowing the things that would happen in each of those instances, the hardships, the suffering, the trial, it was done with intent. It was done with purpose. It was done. God was working and moving. He wasn't out of control. Now, one of the things that I have found, and maybe this is your case as well, you know, one of the things I have found the hardest in teaching my kids to drive? We've got two drivers now in our house, okay? We got two drivers. We have an 18-year-old who's driving, and she's got her license, and she's driving around, and then we've got a 16-year-old. He's learning to drive. You know what the hardest part about teaching your kids how to drive is? You're not in control. You are not in control. You are sitting there in that passenger seat, and you're hoping, you're praying, you're just, everything's going to be okay. And for me as a parent and driving, that's been the hardest thing. I am used to being in the driver's seat, having control of that wheel, feeling confident, you know. And over my years of driving, I've been in plenty of scrapes in driving, some of my own making and some not. Okay? But at least I was in control. Well, when you have your 18-year-old driving, or you have your 18-year-old who is 16, 17 learning to drive, and you have your 16-year-old learning to drive, you're not in control. And you know, really maybe this was the case with the nation of Israel, and even the case with us now with what we're going through. It's very obvious we're not in control. We're not in control. And the only thing that makes sense out of that all is for us to be able to go to God's word and say that there is an all-powerful, all-loving, all-good, all-knowing God who is in control. And he's not just doing these things just because he wants us to suffer, but that he has a good and perfect plan and purpose with everything that's going on. Otherwise, life doesn't make sense, life is full of despair, and what's the point? But we find, again, from the word of God, that God is in control. And so, what we see here is that we need to remember not to forget what God has done. And he's doing something. He did something with the nation of Israel. He's doing something in our lives now. We need to remember that God has a specific purpose in what he has done. He's not out of control. We need to remember that God has special growth and change for all of us during this unique and challenging time. And he doesn't want us to forget that. Now let's turn back again over to the book of Deuteronomy. Again, back to chapter 8. And again, let's go back to verse 2. And again, it says here, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." God doing something with a plan, a purpose. He's in control. We remember what he has done, and we remember that he's in control of what he's doing. But then the third thing it says, "To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." Again, we remember what God has done. We remember that he's in control of what he is doing, what he has done. But we remember, number three, remember that God has a specific purpose with what he does. God has a specific purpose with what he does. And I've already alluded to this before, but God didn't put Israel in the wilderness. He didn't put them in there capriciously. He didn't put them out there flippantly. He didn't put them out there on a whim. He didn't just wake up one day, sounds like a good idea to make Israel suffer for 40 years. Let's throw them out there. He didn't do that. Same thing is true with us. God didn't bring about what's going on in our lives right now capriciously, flippantly, on a whim. He didn't wake up one day and say, well, let's just see how the earth handles COVID-19. Let's just throw that out there. God has a specific purpose with what he is doing. With the nation of Israel, he's very clear with what he says, why he did it. He says to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. God did it with the purpose that Israel would know who they were in the depths of their heart. God did what he did so that Israel would know who they were in the depths of their heart. The key word that we find here in this part of the verse is that word to know. That word to know, which can also be translated to recognize. To recognize. God's methods and his purpose hasn't changed. He still puts us, he put Israel in a challenging situation, a trying situation. He puts us in challenging and trying situations so that we may recognize and acknowledge what is in our hearts. So that we may acknowledge and recognize what is in our hearts and seek God's help to grow and change. Just as Pastor noted this morning, and I don't know if this is exactly where he got it from, but the idea of God does not waste pain. I read that from a book by Jerry Bridges called Trusting God, where he puts in there, God does not waste pain. It is with a purpose, and it is with a good and perfect purpose. And as you read through that book, Bridges builds up to that by saying, there, you know, God is all powerful. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and nobody can stop him. And if that's all that we knew about God, he'd be a very frightening God. But he said, but with that power, he also has the heart and the wisdom to know how to use that power correctly. God is all powerful, but he is also all loving, and he's all good, and he's all wise. And he takes that power, that great and immense and unmatched power, but he then also uses his great and unmatched love and heart and great and unmatched wisdom to use that power correctly in our lives. But it's purpose-filled with what God does in our lives so that we would grow and change to be more Christ-like. Now what we look at, let's look at some other places here that we find in God's Word. Let's look back to that verse passage that Pastor touched on this morning over in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, chapter 8. Some of you have it memorized. You can quote it from memory. But again, going back to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, and all things work together for good. Or, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What's that purpose? It's in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Again, what that means is that God, as God saw us back in the eons of time, and he saw our lives, he looked down the hallways of time, he said, I'm going to put these particular situations and events and people, in Jeff's life, in your life, in order that you might be pointed to Christ. First and foremost, to Christ as your Savior. Second of all, to Christ, that you would grow to be more like your Savior. And God said, and that's what the good purpose is to make us more like his Son, Jesus Christ, to point us to him. But not only do we see that in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, but look over at the book of Luke. Look over at the book of Luke again, chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, starting here in verse, we'll start in verse 43. The key verse we're going to look at is verse 45. But in verse 43 it says this, for a good tree bringeth not corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Our hearts are like a warehouse. They're like a warehouse. Where I work at, it's a big, big warehouse. Lots of boxes, lots of racks and things. We store all kinds of things in there. And eventually, from time to time, things come in, things go out. Our hearts are the exact same way. Whatever we put into our heart eventually is going to come out. Eventually it will come out. It's like I heard an illustration from another Bible teacher before. It's an illustration of a tea bag. You know, I'm not personally a tea drinker. My wife's a tea drinker. Several of my kids are tea drinkers. I like coffee. Okay, but they're tea drinkers. All right, you put the tea, you know, and if you've done tea, you know, you put the tea bag in the cup and you pour the hot water on it, mind you, the hot water on it, and eventually you see that you see what comes out of the tea bag, different colors. Could be a, you know, could be a maroon type color, could be a green type color, could be a brown type color. But whatever's in that tea bag, based on the hot water being poured on it, is going to come out. Our hearts are the same way. With the nation of Israel, God put them out there for 40 years, and He said, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, that you would know, that you would recognize what's in your heart, whether you obey my commandments or no. God does the same thing with us, even with what we're going on, with what's going on right now. And for, you know, for a lot of us, you know, we've been at home a lot. We've been with each other a lot. And I would dare say that probably as we've been in our homes, we probably have not always been our best self. Maybe a lot. That's God taking our tea bag and putting hot water on it. We haven't been able to go out and play soccer. We haven't been able to go out, maybe necessarily, and always go to our job every day. We haven't been able to go out and go to Olive Garden on the weekend. We had to go to Home Depot and learn the experience that I did of having to wait in line to get into Home Depot. What? Are you serious? And in those times, God's pouring that hot water on our tea bag and says, okay, let me show you what's there. Let me show you what's there. So that you can come, hopefully we come to Him and say, God, I need your help. I need your help. I'm not a very nice person. Okay. Now, let's look at another example on the flip side of this. Go over to the book of Philippians. Let's look at somebody whom God did a work on. And when the hot water got poured on their tea bag, we saw what came out of their tea bag. Look at the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 4. The book of Philippians, chapter 4. Here we find the Apostle Paul. The book of Philippians is one of those prison epistles that he's writing from prison. Not necessarily a nice place to be. But what we find from Paul, even in the midst of all that hot water being poured on him, and the suffering that he'd already gone through, we see what comes out of his tea bag. He says here, start at verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want," verse 11, "for I have learned," it wasn't automatic for him, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Some of you might say the same thing. Are you kidding me? He's in prison. And he said, in whatever state he was in, he had learned to be content. Yes, he did. So on this instance, here's a prime example of somebody, again, the hot water got poured in a tea bag, and they learned to be content. Good things came out of that warehouse. Now I want to take a moment here, and I want to address a particular group that's out there. I try to tell my kids as we've gone through this whole thing with COVID-19, you know, we've all lost something. Every one of us. COVID-19 is not just something that affected Bolingbrook, where I'm from. It hasn't just affected Downers Grove, where our church is. It hasn't affected just Will County, the state of Illinois, the United States of America. It's affected the entire world. Everybody has lost something. Some people, they've paid the ultimate price. They've lost their lives. Families have lost loved ones. So I don't want to minimize any of those losses, because that's major losses. Nothing will compare to that. But the particular group I want to reach out to and touch on is those of you who are the class of 2020. For those of you out there who are the graduating seniors, maybe from high school, maybe from college, Pastor mentioned it this morning, this is not what you had planned on. It wasn't what you hoped for, but it is what happened. And as I remember, even with my own daughter, talking with her in her room, putting my arm around her, and there were some tears that were shed. And she just expressed from her heart, "We almost made it. We almost made it." I said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "It's like you got around the, you were coming around the fourth turn of the race, and you were getting ready to head into the home stretch. Then it all fell apart." For those of you who are part of the class of 2020, for some of you, you were the 9/11 babies. You were the babies who were born either just prior to 9/11 or maybe right after 9/11. And now, as you come down to your graduating class, you're going to be, I don't know how they'll title it, but you're the COVID-19 graduating class. Do I think that's by mistake? No, I don't. Because going on from here on out, you will be followed throughout the rest of your lives. And I don't mean that like in a creepy way. But what I'm saying is people will look at you and they will say, 25 years from now, 50 years from now, they will say, "Where are they now? What are they doing? How have they thrived? Or how have they struggled?" And those results, they'll be analyzed, they'll be summarized. But again, is this coincidence? No, it's not. No, it's not. God wants to use you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God wants to use you to continue on in life, to help others, and you're going to come across them, others in your life who are hurting, who are suffering, who have gone through tragedy, who have gone through crisis, who are fearful, who are worried. And you will be able to come along with them, as pastors talk about, and with God's amazing grace, if you'll let God use that in your life, come along with God's amazing grace that he has shown you as you've had to go through this time that you wouldn't have wished for. You wish it would be different. You wish it could change. But you'll be able to come along with God's amazing grace, and you yourself put your arm around somebody and share with them how God helped you with his amazing grace. You will do amazing things, and you will impact people in amazing ways as you let God help you with your hurts and share his amazing grace with others. So again, as we see tonight, this idea in our message out of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, remember, God has special growth and change for you during this unique and challenging time, for all of us. And he doesn't want us to forget that. Now, during my junior year of high school, I had the opportunity to visit Washington, D.C. And one of the places that I visited was the Vietnam Memorial Wall. It wasn't till I went there, I had no idea how long this wall was. I mean, I was just a high school junior, and I can't even really remember how long it had been up when I went. But I'm thinking, you know, I had seen memorials like this before, so I'm thinking like, you know, something you might find at your local municipality or your park district or something. I had no idea how long this wall was until I started walking it. And it just kept going and going and going. And then just to look at the names and to look, I mean, if you look at these, the font on this, it's not huge font. It's just all the names. And again, just like we talked about at the beginning, when you go to Pearl Harbor and you go to that memorial there, and they tell you at Pearl Harbor, please do remember, this is a graveyard. You come here and you come to the Vietnam Memorial Wall, and I remember before we got off the bus to go, I went to public high school, so they tried to tell us, you know, please remember, you know, when you go to this wall, you know, please remember, you know, you may see people there that are crying, you know, you're not sure what you're going to see. And they were just trying to remind us just to be respectful when you go there. And when I went myself personally, I was walking there by myself. But the idea is that when you come and you come to this memorial, you come to remember those who gave their lives for our country and for our freedoms. And hopefully as you come, you grow and you change, and you're different because of what you've seen and what you have experienced because of your visit. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, let's look back at that verse again one more time. God said there was also something that I wanted you, that I wanted Israel to remember. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, he says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no." God did something very specific in Israel's history. He told them, don't forget it. He said, remember, I was in control of all that. And I did it for a good and perfect purpose, that you would know what your heart is like and come to me for that help and for that grace to be what it is that I want you to be. And God tells us to do the same thing. In this time that we're going, and remember, 40 years in the wilderness, COVID-19, we're only, what, 3 months in? Okay, we're nowhere near where they were. But God says, during this time in our lives, remember what he is doing. He's doing something. He's obviously done something. Remember that it's not out of control. God is in control of it. And he's doing a good and perfect purpose in it, that we may see what is in our own hearts and come and seek his help so that we would be more Christ-like. So again, one more time, remember that God has specific growth and change for all of us during this unique and challenging time, and he doesn't want us to forget that. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given to us, Lord, to come before your word. And I pray, Lord, and hope that as we've looked at your word and different things from the Old Testament and the New Testament, that, Lord, that we would see that, Lord, that you're at work, Lord, all the time. You were at work in the Old Testament, the New Testament. You're at work in our lives today, doing very specific and particular things. And that, Lord, that as you are working and moving, you are in control of all of those things, working your good and perfect purpose. That, Lord, that we would see where we are in our relationship with you. We would see what our heart is like before you. And that, Lord, that we would come to you and allow you to work and move in our hearts, that we would be like the Apostle Paul and be able to say, whatsoever state I am, therewith I am content. So, Lord, thank you again for this time we've had to be here. Pray that you watch over us as we're in our homes, as we go our separate ways. Pray that you give us a great Memorial Day. Again, we thank you for those who have given their lives for our freedom. And Lord, may we not forget those who have given their lives for us, and not forget, Lord, what you have done and what you are doing in our lives. So these things we ask and pray now, in Jesus' name, amen.